This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
I'm honored to be here today. My name is Donald Turkelson. I'm a retired Army chaplain. I spent 27 years active duty and reserve combination altogether. And the Lord honored me in many opportunities to serve, and I will share some of those with you today, like as though you could walk with me where I went. I'd like to turn your attention to the scripture. Our selection today is from Matthew 16, beginning at the 13th verse and going through the 19th verse. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to this selection of his holy word. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord. Amen. I'd like to share just a brief little vignette about some of my history and becoming a chaplain. I was in seminary in Deerfield, Illinois, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. That's by the Evangelical Free Church of America. In 1967, I raised my hand at Fort Sheridan and took the oath of office and became a second lieutenant, staff specialist, which meant I was a student, and my duty was to continue study before I could qualify to be a chaplain. Major Pridgett was the one who swore me in. And then in 1968, I did the basic training at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. And it was also in New York. And they closed that post. And there I did the basic training and went to New Jersey to do some things in the field. But then after I'm qualified for military, in 1969, I was doing construction work in the summertime. And I was working on a school in Chicago, and while we were doing repair there, I was cutting concrete blocks for a pylon, the middle pylon they wanted covered with blocks. So I was on the second floor where the saw was, but these blocks needed to go on the third floor. We had a temporary elevator on the outside of the building, and they had, prior to that, an automatic stop on second floor. But since they went to the third floor, they moved that stop to the third floor. So the only way I could get this elevator to stop at the second floor was to get out on the gantry, pull the cable, and then it would come up and I would put the wheelbarrow on and take it up. However, on July 29th in 1969, I stepped a little bit too low on the gantry. As the elevator came up, the part that goes against the side of the gantry became a big crushing point for me. It broke my ankle, and the elevator stopped. As I got it stopped by just pulling the cable right before it was about to cut my leg off at the knee. That traumatic situation left me in question whether or not I could actually be Army chaplain. That night, on my bed, I made it an altar. And I pray from Ezekiel that my foot bone would connect to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone connect to the leg bone, and the leg bone connect to the hip bone. And I prayed for rededication of my life back to God, and that if possible, he could use me in his service. And the next morning, a sister from the Loretto Hospital came by and says, "You were praying in the night, weren't you?" She heard me pray. The Spirit of God was there. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The power of God was there, where two people gather and make a statement. Like it said in the scripture, if you bound something on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. If you bind something and loose something in earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. And the power of prayer made it possible that I was able then to be able to be commissioned in 1970 as a first lieutenant, army chaplain. And I was then sent to, I had to be on active duty. I'd have to have 2 years of church. So the army, I went to church in Burlington, Iowa, was a pastor in 1973. And in 1975, I got a call to come active duty. I was reported to Fort Knox, Kentucky. Later from Kentucky, I was sent to Germany. And while in Germany, I was at the 97th General Hospital. I was a chaplain there. And one of the things I found was a young sergeant and his wife. They had a preemie baby born in September. And that September, she was only about 2.5 pounds. Very, very fragile child. It's like being in the Holy of Holies. I've never been in the Holy of Holies in the temple. But when you think about it, I'm basically in the womb of the woman where this child is being cared for. It's an awesome experience. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, and April, the child starts to have convulsions. And the nurses come to me and says, "Go, chaplain, please go pray with the parents and tell them the child is dying." I said, "Wait a minute. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's life, there's hope. The parents know she's dying. They're scared as much as you are." Guess all this time, the people became emotionally contacted to this child with care day and night. And so I prayed with these family. And 1 week later, the child was dismissed from the hospital with the family. 1 year later, the child came back with a celebration of its birthday. My friends, there is power in prayer. There is a great power in God, in the providence of his care. Trust in him. For sure, the love of God was made available to that parents and that family. But during that whole year going, Colonel Story, I went up in the admin office and we had a meeting there of the staff, and he's saying and complaining about the care of that child, it costing so much money, 24-hour care, 7 days a week. I said, "What should we do? Should we stop the firing of some tanks on the Grafenwehr or Hohenfels when they're doing target practice so we can give money to this child? There is no price for a life, my friends." And so he allowed the child to stay, and the child was saved, and we celebrate life today, my friends. I was then later sent to the 59th Ordnance Brigade. This brigade was the largest territory at that time of a brigade. It was from the Switzerland border, the Denmark border, from East Germany into Belgium, into Netherlands. We had bases where there were British soldiers, we had bases with German soldiers, we had bases with American soldiers, bases with Netherlands soldiers, and they all took care of the custodian of nuclear and chemical weapons for artillery and missiles for NATO. At this point, there were 72 remote sites, and I had 7 chaplains that I supervised. Basically, I was like a revolving district superintendent, taking care of supporting these people. At 1993, the Army decided to deactivate this unit and have all these chemical weapons and nuclear weapons removed from the depot. And that was right at the time of the starting of the Desert Storm. And so we had 70 trucks with a battalion of infantry on a brand new Autobahn that's not being yet used, with border police on each side, helicopters over top, and for 70 days and 70 trucks, they took all those chemical weapons to a railhead in Miesau, Germany, put it on a train, sent it up to Bremerhaven, put it on a ship that went to Johnston Island, where it was burnt off into the air, never being used in war. The last day that they had this removal of these weapons from the depot, I was there praying, and I made a prayer of thanksgiving to God that these weapons, like plow, like swords, were being removed to become plowshares, and the day of the Lord was certainly there. Thanks be to God, these were never used in harm's way in any combat. Also in that year, Memorial Weekend, our unit was being deactivated. Since we had taken those out, we had 6,300 troops and then all that area. And so then our headquarters unit was selected to go to Verdun and do honorary respect to the fallen soldiers at Verdun for the Americans, British, and French. I was selected to give prayers. General Black Jack Pershing had a system that he decided to use. We would take from the townsfolk, we would walk and march out of the town up to the cemetery and present wreaths on the graves and the memorial, and we would have honors and prayers there. While I'm standing on the side of the street waiting for all the people to gather, a Frenchman came over to me and said, "I want to thank America for sending soldiers in World War I and World War II. My friends, I was never born in World War I. That was 1914, and it ended in 1919. I was born in 1943, and my family, we had 11 soldiers and sailors and various servicemen go active duty and be in combat in the Pacific, in northern Italy, and northern Africa, and in Germany. By a miracle, all 11 came home. That's unusual. And one of them died later of testicle cancer. But case in point, while I was at Verdun, they had one of these things where we went to the big cemetery where there's 10,000 soldiers buried. And they had a big Mirage jet come right over top of the cemetery. And as we were to march up to the dais, they would send that jet right straight up in the air and made a cracking sound like an artillery vibration and racking in the whole area. And then we said our prayers, laid our wreaths. And we then went into the community, and the young people wanted different parts of my uniform, so I gave them some of my unit crest, different pieces of my uniform, so they could have a tribute and say something to remember the day by. I would like for you to recognize that the price of freedom was ever so expensive. So many of our military never came home. Brothers, sisters, fathers, husbands, uncles. So at this time, I'm very humbled to show you various sites in Europe and Philippines and the Pearl Harbor, what has happened for our military, cost their life for our freedom. Sobering, very humbly, to see the sacrifice our country has paid, and they're still paying that today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve, and I noticed that several times I was in the hospital ministry, 6.5 years in Germany. And one time, we had those market plots disaster in Sarajevo and Croatia, and our hospital was put into action to receive 70 civilians who had been injured. They brought them in my airplane to Ramstein and put them on buses, transfer them to our hospital in Landstuhl. We were called in on Sunday night to move these people from the buses to their beds in the hospital. The nurses had a sheet that says English things and the Croatian language on it, so it was synchronized. So if the Croatian, they could point to one thing that was wrong, and they could see it in English what they needed to give them proper care. One of the people they brought in was a lady who, young girl who had been sleeping in the attic of her house, and the artillery shells hit the roof and collapsed the beams of the house down upon her in the bed and caused her legs to be amputated. Another man I put on a gurney and moved to a bed. You could actually put your fist to his back. There was a hole big enough in his back you could put your fist in. So there were many people that were in such need, and we were honored to care for these people and serve them. Also, while I was there, Somalia came about. Remember that. Of all things, they had the Marines coming on the shore, and the TV cameras were showing pictures of them landing at the sea. That is no proper way to describe to the world what's going on in the military action. One of the people that were brought to my hospital was the pilot from Black Hawk Down, the movie they made of the Somalia operation. You might remember, unfortunately, seeing his co-pilot drugged through the streets of Somalia, and they took him as a prisoner of war. They came to my hospital, and I had an opportunity to have prayer with him and to thank God for his life and bless his life. Another day, I walk into the ICU, and I see a soldier on a rotating bed facing straight down, and he's looking at a mirror, talking to me, and he's asking me the question, can you put the Lord's Prayer on a card so I can read it while I'm here? He had forgotten the Lord's Prayer that he'd been taught by his mother, and now he's praying it and asking God for help. Have you ever had a desire to pray like that of a deer in the wilderness craving for water? Do you crave for God? Do you crave for that opportunity for the Spirit of God to touch your heart and life? Does that ever come to your mind? Like we sang today, as a deer longs for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. As David made these prayers, he had that hunger. And I hope that each one of us somehow today can have a hunger for the Lord. Who is the Lord to you? Who am I, he says. Is he John the Baptist? Is he a prophet? Is he Moses? Peter says, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Anointed One. I hope you can say that Jesus is Christ to you, that he is the Holy One. He is the one that God sent. But Jesus answered him and said to him, you know, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but God himself, my Father. We need the Spirit to activate us. In Isaiah it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I hope that you have that hunger and thirst for God, that you too will want to hear him and feel him and experience him. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We have that opportunity. The same power that Jesus gave to Peter, the keys to the kingdom, he gives to you. What you bound in heaven, you can be bound on earth. What you loose on earth can be loosed in heaven. You have the keys of the kingdom. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Where two or three agree on one thing, it can be done. It says the Lord is no respecter of persons. What the two of you agree in the name of God, it can be done in the name of God for the power of healing, for the power of sake. The scripture tells us of a parable. There were 99 sheep in the fold, and one is lost. What does the shepherd do? He goes after that lost sheep, and he comes back rejoicing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. I call him the hound of heaven. He goes after you when you're lost, when you wandered away. There's a song we sing sometimes, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It says, I'm prone to wander from the God I love. Oh, I fear it. If you're wandering from God today, I pray that you come back to him, that the Spirit of God will lead you by the hound of heaven to seek you, the Lord, while he may be found. Call you upon him while he's near. Amen.